Yamana Kariasi Krovia Shatikritia so. Over Yasi Krovia Shatikin, the mana Kratia, so Krovia, Hesheko, Canano Kurira Briasa, so Korea Sata, the Yamana Doria Briasa, Se Krovia Shatakadia, so Krovia Sha, Se Hekoko Baba Baba Kriya Satikritia, say, Hiya Yokria. Hey, whole Korea Sata Kodia Sakrubiasha Zakaba Baba Korea Sata Kodia Sakrubiasha Hashaka Yashikrudia say. I have declared the due season. I have declared the time of the abundant overflow. I have declared that you are a people who have been set on a course. I have declared your season of overflowing abundance, but the word of my promise must be laid hold of. The word of my promise must have an expectation. Do you not expect due season? Do you not expect overflowing abundance? Are you not expecting miracle signs and wonders? Are you not expecting to be the vessel of the miracle signs and wonders? How do you walk in this anointing and not expect to produce? I call you to an account. It is time to lay hold. It is time to stop looking at what the enemy is doing and to stamp your feet and say no more, because it's my due season and my God paid the price and I receive what he has given me. Receive, receive, receive the due season. It is a now time, but you have to grab it. You have to want it. I said it, do it.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Our now season. The season of overflowing supernatural abundance. Would you give it up one time for your praise team? You may be seated. I watched the praise team, and of course the musicians. Good to see Brother Thomas back on the Hammond. Good to have Brother Richard and Sister Michelle back from their break. But I watched the praise team, and like this morning when Tina stepped out to do the lead, it's like her face started to glow. She was into what she was doing. And sometimes I see Sister Michelle and different other ones, I see their face light up as what they're offering to God is coming out of their heart, not just out of their mouth. Praise and worship are vital to victory.
Yes. Amen.
Praise and worship are vital to victory. With a song in your heart, you can defeat any day. You can defeat any trial, any opposition, any problem. Your men of valor are putting notes in your hand. Approaching a subject I don't know that I've talked about in an extremely long time, but something the Lord dealt with me as I was in prayer about today, and so we're going to go there.
Amen.
The joy of obedience. The joy of obedience. There is a joy that comes when you know you're doing what God wanted you to do. And as we approach today's subject, I do so with a slight bit of excitement that it's a subject that isn't properly taught to most of the body of Christ. Our Lord and Redeemer walked the earth in total submission to the Father's will, plan, and purpose. And because he did, he became your sacrifice. When you understand how God puts things together, someone asks, why did Christ have to be born in Bethlehem? And I said, because Bethlehem was designated by law as the birthing place for sacrificial lambs. An order of the priesthood worked in Bethlehem to select the primo sheep that were being birthed there to be the sacrifice that would be offered in the temple. So our sacrifice had to be birthed in the place where sacrifices were designated as acceptable. Our master taught tithing as a portion of that submission. When they came to him about a group of people, he said, well, they're tithing, and that they ought to do, but not forget these other weightier matters of the law. A lot of people will try and tell you that tithing was under the law and therefore doesn't apply to us today. No, there was a period where grace was being manifest in the earth before the law came. And in that time frame, they were tithing. Tithing preceded the law by 400 years. So for 400 years, there were people who offered tithe unto God, and it was included in the law, but it did not begin with the law, and it certainly did not end with the law. Tithing is about recognizing God's blessings upon your life. Pardon moi. I think a non-tither just walked by. Under the old covenant, tithing was the law, but it did not begin with the law, and we will see that in today's message. Under the new covenant, tithing is a way of showing submission to lordship, of opening the windows of heaven, of supporting the church and ministry, of demonstrating that money does not rule your life, nor is it your source. Tithing puts money in its place. Well, Pastor, I can't afford to give. You're a blithering idiot. You can't afford not to give. The problem is you don't believe God's word. I've had people who were not believers who came to me with a cigar in their mouth and the smell of brew on their breath and said, I just finished a job and I want to make sure that God gets his portion. They weren't living the way they should, but they understood the blessing of the tithe. There was a time when tithing was taught as a blessing getter. No, tithing is a blessing celebration. It is a celebration of God's provision, and you return the first fruits to recognize him as the God of your harvest. Well, Pastor, I worked hard for that money. What if you didn't have the strength to work? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 8. In that case, mortal men receive tithes. But in that case, one receives him of whom it is witness that he lives on. If you'll remember, this is a story of Abraham returning from the defeat of five kings. There were five kings on the warpath, and they were going from place to place, taking captives, stealing wealth. They were on a rampage. Abraham said, "You're not doing that to my house." So he took his household servants and went after the five kings and defeated them and took back all that they had stolen, not only from him, but from everybody else. As he's returning, Melchizedek, which was an early type of our Lord and Redeemer, a man who just stepped out of time, who didn't have a mother or father, no lineage or record that's recorded, he just was. And Melchizedek met him. And we have record of the first communion. He brought bread and wine to celebrate a victory. When he brought the bread and wine, we have a first recording of Abraham honored God by presenting to Melchizedek a tenth of all of his wealth that he had gained in defeating five kings and their armies. Melchizedek was a priest of the Most High God, a forerunner of Messiah, who inherited the Melchizedekian priesthood, not the Levitical priesthood. When Abraham gave the tithe to Melchizedek, his son, his heir, who had formed the Levitical priesthood, was still in his loins. The natural Levitical priesthood had not yet been birthed, but would be birthed from a man who was tithing before the law was, before the priesthood was. And we are taught a lesson here that tithing is a celebration of victory. People who do not tithe are not celebrating the victory, and what you do not celebrate, you will lose. Before I was born again, I was a tither. Because I had grown up with an understanding that recognizing God would increase your finances. I said I grew up with an understanding that recognizing God would increase your finances. So even before I gave my heart to the Lord, I gave my money to recognize that it was all His and He was blessing me. Sometimes when you're not born again, you feel guilty about going to church, so you drop the tithe off when they're not in session. But you recognize your need to honor God so God can honor you. You recognize your need to honor God so God can honor you. Well, Pastor Jim, I just don't see tithing. Then you do not see God as your source. You do not see God as the author of your finances. You do not see God as the giver of good things. I want the giver of good things on my side. So in this case of Abraham being met by Melchizedek, and Melchizedek brings bread and wine, communion to celebrate a victory, we're taught that communion started as a celebration of victory. And when our Lord was going to the cross, He celebrated the victory of the cross before he went there. Sometimes you need to grab your Welch's grape juice and a saltine cracker and step into your prayer closet and celebrate healing. I have seen people who their healing manifested as they were receiving communion. Sometimes you need to grab your Welch's and your cracker and slip into your prayer closet and celebrate abundance when you don't see any. Our Lord had not yet been raised from the dead, but he was already celebrating his victory and told them, I won't do this again until I'm on the other side. Well, Pastor, what does that tell me? Communion takes place in heaven. Because he said, next time I celebrate communion, it'll be in the kingdom that will be birthed in my resurrection. And also, we see that Abraham recognized, I couldn't have won a war against five kings with my household servants unless God was blessing me. I don't know about you, but when I go to war, I want it to be with warriors, not with somebody who was shining my shoes and cooking my meals. But little is much with God. And so when in our lifetime Lou and I experienced lack, we continued to honor God. And would even we learned that we could tithe on what had not come in yet. We would need a financial blessing, and so we would present to God an offering based upon the amount we wanted to have. You need $1,000? Give God $100 and tell him, I'm tithing on that $1,000 that you're bringing me. Pastor Jim, do you believe that works? No. I know it works. There has never been a time where I considered keeping the tithe so I could make ends meet. Because I trusted God more than I trusted my ability to earn, knowing that he would make a way where there seemed to be no way if I was recognizing him in it. A lot of people fail to see tithe as their doorway to abundance. But Abraham, before there was a law, before there was a regulation, in gratitude to God, honored God with the tithe. But Pastor Jimmy gave it to a man. Biblically, those who represent the ministry are the ones who receive the tithe. Paul taught that here men receive tithes, but there God receives it. So when you give it to the man, you're giving it to the God the man represents. Tithing recognizes and supports ministry. Luke 6:38 says, give. It doesn't say pay. It doesn't say owe. It says, give. When House of the Lord was in its infancy, we didn't have a staff. So I ran my dealership. I ran my plastics factory. I pastored the church. I put out the monthly newsletter. And I kept the books in a hand entry log. I didn't know how to spell computer, let alone use one. And they weren't really that big yet. The church's first computer was a Radio Shack Tandy tower. And it was little more than a glorified word processor. But during those days, I would open an envelope and it would have nothing in it but a prayer request. Agree with me that God is giving me the funds so I can tithe. They didn't recognize that tithing would provide the funds they needed. So they were still praying for the tithe. But you don't pray for the tithe. You give the tithe. Give, and it shall be given to you. There are people who think, well, I'm going to give an offering. I'm going to return the tithe, but I don't expect anything back. Are you really that short-sighted? Daddy said, give and it will be given unto you. The minute I turn it loose, I am giving thanks already for the return. And Daddy has not let me down. Daddy continues to bless me, to prosper me, to increase me, to enlarge me. And it's not because I have a fat paycheck, it's because I have a giving God. Because even when I don't get paid, God pays me. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Then he says, they, men, some people are waiting for heaven to open up. They're still looking up for the money to come down and not looking around. Who is it you want to use to bless me, Lord? I'm praying for them right now that they have what it is you want them to give me. Men, bring you your return. God does not have a printing press in heaven, and he's rolling out a fresh stack of 50s. God would not let money in heaven. They deal in gold and diamonds and pearls. They don't deal in promissory notes, because a greenback is simply that, a promissory note. Is not really money. It's just saying money's available. Men will pour into your lap a good measure. That says I'm seated. I'm not out working hard to get it. I'm sitting back expecting. They can't pour into my lap if I'm not sitting down resting in the promises of the Lord. Your position before God is important. You're not walking the floor, God, where is it coming from? God, how are you going to do this? You're sitting down because you're at rest in the promise that God made you. And a lot of times you're so busy walking around fretting that they couldn't pour it in your lap if you wanted them to, because you don't have a lap. enter the rest. God, you said it. I'm going to sit here and take a nap while they're bringing it to me. Because I've given, therefore, abundant return is headed my way. Sometimes you need to learn to pray this way. God, I thank you for the men and women you're using to bring me my abundance. My abundance is going to come through the hands of individuals who do respond to your voice. I want to be one who responds to your voice so I'm in line with your purpose. They will pour in your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Not tit for tat, but this for that. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. If you're stingy with God, he'll be stingy with you. If you're stingy with men, they'll be stingy with you. But you want to be around a giver. You don't want to be around a loser. I was contemplating yesterday, as I was thinking about Brother Napoleon's email, I was thinking about being at Brother Brian's for the game. Not that I give a flip about the game, I never watched them, but just to hang out with the guys while they were enjoying the game. I'm glad I didn't go now, because I didn't have to experience all their misery. I know as the score was getting tight, the joy of the Lord might have been missing from the room. But by your standard of measure, I want to be known as a giver. I want to be known as liberal. So I give, and I give, and I give, and I receive, and I receive, and I receive. I'm not saying this because I want any board members present to hear or that I have any sad story to tell. I made a decision a long time ago that the bills of the church and the salary of the staff would be paid before I was. Now, I know in most churches it's not that way. The senior pastor gets his first, and if there's anything left, then others get it. But I made a decision. Is God my source? Yes. Then I don't have to have first dibs on being compensated. So at present, I'm over 2 years behind in pay. Do I look like I'm suffering? Now I want to ask you a question. Could you go 2 years without pay? I'm waiting for somebody to go, yes. I'm not telling you theory. I'm telling you facts. My wife drives a $60,000 sports car. I drive a humble little GMC. And right now I'm making 2 house payments. Because I wanted a new house, I bought it. It's just a $500,000 house, but it's still a cute cottage with a gorgeous landscaping. And I've got another house that I'm selling. But right now, I'm making 2 house payments, 2 car payments, and not getting paid. Pastor Jim, how do you do that? You honor God and you give. Now, then the normal tendency would be, I don't have income, so I don't allow outgo. I'm going to get all I can. I'm going to sit on the can and wait for things to get better. No. I gave away a car last week. I've given away a bunch of them. I've given away houses. Pastor Jim, how do you give away a car when you don't have income? I do have income. It just doesn't come in the form of a paycheck. My God supplies all of my need. So I'm sharing with you what I shared, not to encourage you to give more so Pastor can get paid. I'm saying what I'm saying to let you know it works. Giving works. Honoring God works. Tithing on what you want to receive works. People will hunt me down to give me money. I have divine favor every place I go. And I deal generously so that you could go to anybody I do business with and they will give you a special deal because Pastor Jim has been generous with them and given them more than they charged and tipped them better than most people would. I am a tipper. I don't leave 25 cents on the table. When I go get my oil changed, they change my oil and I stick a $5 bill in their hand. When I pull up to get my oil changed, it don't matter if there's 15 cars in the line. I get ahead of it. Where I get car inspections done. I've had people that their car wouldn't pass inspection. And they say, we got a problem. I say, follow me. And I go to the inspection station. I say, they need an inspection sticker. No problem, Jim. It'll be taken care of. They put a sticker on the car and we drive away and they go, how'd you do that? And I said, did you see the handshake? My Bible says your bribe will make a place for you. Brother Jim, the King James says gift. I know it does, but the Hebrew says bribe. Because the bribe there had a different connotation than it does now. You give to get is what it's teaching. No, you're not listening. I said you give to get. I get good service. I get favor. My son had a bracket on the muffler on his motor scooter broke. And we wheeled into a shop to get it welded back together. There was a line of cars. The guy that does the welding is Islamic. He was an English teacher in school in Iran before he came to the U.S. We came walking up and he saw us and he said, bring that over here. And while the other customers were looking, going, what's going on? I walked past their cars, handed him the muffler and he welded it. And I gave the Islamic gesture, I bowed my head, I gave him a tip, and he said, you don't owe me anything. And Stuart said, he took you ahead of all of those other customers. And I went, yeah, because I respect him, and I give a bribe that they're waiting on when they do the work. I'm not cussing at them because they're not fast enough to get the work done, but then I never stand in line. If it works with men, I said, if it works with men, how much more so with God? When it's time to honor God with a tithe, you should get excited. I'm ensuring my future. I'm opening the windows of heaven. Under the law, tithing opened the windows of heaven. But since tithing existed before the law, it must have been the way before the law. Therefore, it's the way after the law. Open the windows of heaven with your giving. It doesn't hurt to give above the tithe. Your tithe should not be $14.93. If you count it down to the penny, then that's your measure of giving. It'll be counted down to the penny in your return. But if you round it up, it'll be rounded up coming back. If you give it, in a struggle, it'll be a struggle for men to give to you. Understand this. God's not going to send an angel with a bag of cash, but he will send people. Therefore, you need to be friends with everybody, because you don't want to offend the source God was going to use to bless you. Oh, yeah, he went there. You see, giving is you as well as your money. Are you willing to give your time, your energy, your patience? But, Pastor, I just can't stand hearing them talk. Well, then sit down and listen. Tithing says, I want God in my finances. Tithing says, I want God in my finances, so I recognize God with my finances. A lot of people are hurting financially because they've closed the windows of heaven. They have offended everybody they know, and God has got to find a new source to get it to them because they've closed all the doors around them. No man is an island to himself. We live in a world where God uses people to bless you. God uses people to prosper you. God uses people as a channel to get his blessings into your life. Heaven doesn't work on greenbacks. So God has got to use a system where greenbacks are used to get it to you. I bring God his part so my part will go further. I can do more with the 90% than I ever could with the 100%. Now, Pastor, that just don't make no sense. My God doesn't make sense. He makes victory. Nothing about God makes sense. If it makes sense, it's probably not God. God doesn't operate in regular channels, by regular rules, and by what you expect, unless what you expect is what he has promised. When you make the determination, I am going to be a tither no matter what, God will make the decision that you're going to be blessed no matter what. The economy can go flat into the toilet and I will still have abundance. Because my God supplies all of my need and I've learned to prove him faithful. So I don't testify before you based on theology. It's based on I've been there, I've done that, and I've got the results to prove it. I don't like barely to get along street. I don't like broke. So I made a determination, I'll never be broke another day in my life. But part of that decision is honoring God. So the channel is always open for people to bless me. And I'm continually looking to see where it's coming from. I don't look up. I look around. Because God will use men, and that's neuter gender, men, women, to give into my bosom. So I always have it coming in because I always have it going out. Give and it will be given unto you. I want you to experience the blessing of being an expectant tither. Not a legal tither. Not a, all right, God, there it is, take it. No. Daddy, with joy, I bring it to you, knowing you're bringing it back to me so overflowingly that I won't be able to deal with all of it. Now, I have not reached the point where I have more money than I know what to do with yet, but I'm headed there. I said, I'm headed there, and I expect in this season for that door to begin opening and me to begin seeing the stacks that God has for me. I have been to hell and back, and I found one thing. God is faithful. I was laying flat on my back in the hospital and I had people bring me $1,000 and say, pray for me, my mortgage is due. I had people come by and visit me and hand me a check for $2,000. I'm flat on my back, I'm not pastoring. And they didn't even go to church here. They were not a part of this congregation, but they were blessing me because they wanted to be blessed. I have people tell me when they give me, I want to give to somebody who's being blessed because I want those blessings in my life. So laying flat on my back when I couldn't work, I walked out of the hospital with over $20,000 that people had given me. Pastor, how's that possible? I honor God, and even flat on my back, unable to work or do anything, it's flowing in. Most people walk out of the hospital flat, broke, and looking for money. I walked out of the hospital with it stacked up. Now, Pastor, you're just bragging. I sure am. My God does exceeding abundant above and beyond. You show me how many people flat of their back for 7 months in the hospital, have $20,000 come to them while they're laying flat. That's above, that's not paychecks, that's just gifts. I had somebody say, I know you don't have a lot to do, so would you be praying for me here? And so when I walked out of the hospital, I had been increased by $20,000 flat on my back. Pastor, where does it come from? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Men shall give unto your bosom. So while I'm not at church, I'm not ministering, I'm not doing anything, because part of that time, I couldn't even lift my hand to take what they gave me. I had to say, give that to Lou. But my God supplies all of my need and then some. Well, Pastor, I want to go to the hospital. That's not the way it works. What I'm saying to you is, it will find you wherever you are. It will find you wherever you are. And it came to me from people who are not and never have been a part of this congregation. And it came to me through people who are part of this congregation, who would say, Pastor, I know you've probably got some extra needs while you're in here. And so they would give a gift. I am telling you that when you determine to be a tither and a giver, God will determine to be your blesser. And He will find people who will get up early or stay up late to get it to you. But you got to expect it. I expect to be blessed, horizontal or vertical, working or not doing anything. I expect blessing to be poured into my lap. It's not hard to have a lap when you're flat on your back. And God poured it in. I'm telling you that our God is faithful. And He has done in my life exceeding abundant, above and beyond. And I am still looking for more. Amen. I've had somebody who's not a member here invite me over for a meal and hand me a check for $35,000. Just wanted to bless you. I said, let's pray. And I blessed them because I learned from Melchizedek. They honor you, bless them and speak a blessing on their house. To this date, the biggest offering I've had, someone took me to Austin Landing Cattle, and we were finished with the meal. They handed me a briefcase with $150,000. I went, thank you, Lord. I watched my father, who would tithe $14.93. And in 50 years of ministry, the largest offering he ever received was $1,000. Why? He never learned to be generous. Learn to be generous with others and with God. I said, learn to be generous with others and with God. Become a tither, not regrettingly, not grudgingly, but happily, knowing what it is making room for in your life. I look forward to returning to God his portion. Somebody sticks a $10 bill in my hand, first thing I do is put a dollar in another pocket. So as soon as I get to the house, I can put it in the tithe envelope. I don't wait and say, well, I'll remember it later. First fruits go to God. So the first thing I do when I get money is pull God's portion out from mine so I don't get confused with it. So I don't find myself sitting around later going, did I give God everything or not? No, if I put it first, he'll put me first. I can tell you this. Tithing works wonders in your life. If you've never experienced the kind of abundance I was talking to today, maybe you need to ask yourself why. Am I expecting it? No, that's not the first question. The first question is, am I honoring God properly? Am I honoring God's people? Now, where's it coming from? Because I know it's en route. The blessings of the Lord overtake me daily so that I refuse to live paycheck to paycheck. I have blessings whether it's a check or not. Well, Pastor, that doesn't make sense. No, but it sure does make for good times. Become a tither, not a grudging tither, not a, well, it's a bill I owe. It's not a bill you owe. It's a privilege God gives to you to determine the abundance that comes into your life. See it as a doorway, not a loss. Because I can tell you, once you begin honoring God, God will start honoring you in ways you did not even know was possible. If I began to tell you all the ways that God has used to bless me and prosper me, it would get bogged down. But there's a stack of them. And you know what? I haven't even begun to tap the resources yet. But I'm getting ready. And I'm expectant. And I'm looking around going, where is it coming from, Daddy? I didn't ask if it's coming. I didn't ask, could you? I go, where is it coming from? Because I know I've triggered the overflow by honoring God. Daddy, we've delivered your word this day, and your word is singing deep into the hearts of the hearer, and they're recognizing their need for you and their finances. I thank you for every tither and giver in our midst, and I thank you that more are becoming tithers and givers so that they can experience the abundance that only honoring you brings. Father, show out in behalf of this people. Crown them with abundance as they have never known before. Let them find the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let your blessings flow freely. I curse any lack. I curse any hindrance. I curse anything that would in any way retard the blessings that are due your people. And I say, blessings are loosed, abundance is flowing, and your grace is made complete. And the people said, amen. You're loved. Go with God.